My name is Rob.
Hey, Rob.
I've been sober since January 12th of 1992, and I'm grateful for that, very grateful for that. And very grateful to be here, and very grateful to be asked to share. It's a privilege and an honor. I have a lot of respect for this group. It's my second time out here. You know, I came last year, and this is what I come out here for to be in this meeting, not necessarily to speak. I didn't know I was going to do that. Flew all night on an airplane last night. Got into town this morning, went out to breakfast with people I flew on the airplane with, my friends in AA, and went to back to the hotel. We had a morning meditation meeting, and my grand sponsor told me I was going to do this, and about an hour later, this jacket and tie showed up in my room, which I'm grateful for, because I didn't bring one, and I'm grateful for that. This is a Columbus, I believe, jacket, and I'm grateful for that. And it's just good to be here. I'm very grateful to be here, and like I said, grateful to be sober a little bit. How I drank, started early when I was very young, and drank real hard through high school, and used all the assorted chemicals to go with that very quickly, advanced in those stages. By the time I was out of high school, you know, I was pretty much already a wreck, you know, but I was having a lot of fun, so, you know, at that time, and I wasn't really hurting too many people. But as life progressed, you know, I met a girl and married her. And in the middle of all that partying, met her, fell in love with her, married her, and started having kids. And we quickly built a quick family. You know, I had a son first. You know, quite a few years later, we started having a couple more. I had two daughters, so I ended up with three kids. And I don't know, by the time the third kid was born, that marriage, we were separated when she was pregnant with that kid. Got back together to have that kid, and it was all due to drinking and drugs. You know, I'm the kind of alcoholic that gets paid. I was working construction, and I get paid on a Friday, and you will not see me, if I'm lucky, till Tuesday. And a lot of weekends were spent with me drinking like that, you know, and she was the kind of wife that could find me. And, you know, that meant I had a Ford Bronco. That meant that she did an all-night vigil up and down and all the haunts and all that stuff in that Ford Bronco with the kids in the car. And that gets a woman pretty sick. And I was pretty sick. And it was a very sick relationship, you know, with those kids. And it was a very affected family. And it eventually almost destroyed that family. And she got crazier and I got drunker. And, you know, and I got real good at hiding. I knew that I had to get at least three towns away and find just that right hotel with all the necessary things nearby, the bar and the liquor store and all that stuff, and I'd hold up in there and do my drinking, and then I'd come home crying on a Tuesday saying it was going to be different, or I'd go throw myself immediately in a detox. I've been through Raleigh Hills a couple of times. That's the thing, I don't know if they have that out here, but in California that's a aversion treatment. If anybody's been through aversion treatment, it's where they make you deathly sick on alcohol so that if you try to drink again, you're just like, you know, it's like drinking too much tequila. You can't never drink tequila again. Well, the 10-day follow-ups and all that kind of stuff, I guess I missed a couple of those, because after a certain amount of time, I'd stay dry, or I'd come out of there and start smoking a lot of pot, doing a lot of drugs and not drinking, and those kind of things. And, you know, I never did the AA. They brought AA in there, but, you know, I just wanted to just help to get the heat off me and, you know, this stuff, this alcohol's tearing me up. My wife's pissed off. Kid, everybody liking me again, and I'll be fine. And I got drunk every time. I never did anything, you know, to really stay sober. I didn't really want to quit drinking at the time, and I didn't, you know. And that went on. Like I said, I started drinking at 12, and then I sobered up at 34. So it was a long span of drinking, and it destroyed. It tore up that family. Eventually, we split up, and she had the kids, and she was doing some party of her own and living pretty crazy. And running around with a lot of people with motorcycles, and they were coming to the house a lot. And I was living in a hotel. I had a busted up Harley, and I shoved it in a storage room there. And I was living there, and I couldn't work in construction anymore. And I ended up working maintenance in that little hotel for a room. And in the midst of all that, there was a fire at her house with three kids over there. And I went in there and took those kids, and we moved into that hotel. Me and the three kids, and I got a long hair and a beard. I'm dirty, and I'm a drunk, and I'm just, and it wasn't good, you know. And that ran out, and they kicked me out of there, and we moved into a welfare apartment. It was all I got on welfare with those kids, and lived there. And That was on a street that was notorious for crack. And I could tell there's some of that out here. You know, I can sense it, I can feel it when we're driving around. It's here, you know, and so I'm sure there's some people identify with what goes on with that. And that quickly took me to the end of my drinking. And by 1992, we were living in that, I wasn't working, waiting on welfare checks and spending them on, you know, what I had to spend them on. And living in that apartment with those kids, and it was bad, you know. And it was bad, and I quickly really hit a bottom, and the social services came in, all those things. The kids were yanked out of there. Luckily, they weren't put in a home. They were given to my ex-wife's parents, and she's living with a guy in Long Beach, California. And I ended up moving over there to her parents' house, and with her gone, living with another guy, sleeping on their floor. A guy got stabbed on New Year's of 91, and I sobered up on January 12th of 92. With a knife wound, I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I knew one thing. I'd been to enough AA meetings for different reasons, for heat and all those things that we go for. I knew one thing, that there was people in there that told me they were sober for periods of time, like years, days, some years. There was people that talked about having years of sobriety and having a better life, and I knew if they weren't lying, and I couldn't really see why people would come to AA to lie about not drinking. You know what I mean? I could see why you lie to your wife and all those kind of things, and the cops and your job and all that, but I didn't see why we'd all come sit in a room like this and make up stories about being sober. So I kind of believed those people. And the only thing I knew, I'd been to all the detoxes, paid all the money for the high dollar detoxes and all that stuff, and all I knew was maybe this will work. So I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous, and this time I walked in a little different. Walked into a meeting, and I met a guy that's in this room tonight. Met a lot of guys that are in this room tonight, but one in particular that stuck his hand out to me, and I started going to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and it's been, 11 years last January, and I've been down the road, a couple different sponsors. My first sponsor, I don't know where he's at today, but he helped me out a lot for about 5 years. Around 5 years, I changed to a sponsor that's in this room tonight, and it's been very, you know, just been a really good sponsor for me. I got a lot of identity with him, it's been a good deal, and we've really gone down the road, and he's got me busy in Alcoholics Anonymous and taught me what commitment was and got make sure I got some, a lot of them, and then I'm busy all the time, you know, and he don't talk much. He doesn't say much, but he watches me like a hawk, and his wife sponsors my wife. I was able to get married again to a woman that's in Al-Anon. Remarried, and I got the two little girls with me. You know, at first I had all three kids, but my son moved back with his mom after about 4 years, and I got the two little girls with me and my wife today, and we got a little house in Fullerton over there, California, and we were able to buy that house, and that's not a big deal, but man, that's a long ways from a guy that could had to have welfare pay rent, and things are good today, you know, and I got a job and all those kind of things that come along in sobriety. And I've been through the ups and downs and the rounds and rounds. You know, at that time I changed with the sponsor at 5 years. I was in that 5-year surrender where I wasn't doing nothing for Alcoholics Anonymous. That's why I say he got me busy, and I almost got drunk. It's just God's been there all along. The people in AA, you know, of a group effort. Me and my family are a group effort. It took everybody in my home group to help us, you know, a lot of work with a sponsor, but a lot of people have helped me. Some are here, some aren't. So that qualifies me as an alcoholic. And what I want to talk about a little bit now is, back in September, there were some guys from this group that came out to our home group in Fullerton, California, Orange County. And we're having a great week. And on a Saturday, at a Saturday meeting, I got a pain in my side, and I pretty much got bent over, and I went out and told my grand sponsor about that. We tried a couple quick little remedy things that didn't work, and my sponsor was at work, and he sent me to a doctor, and I went to a doctor, and I got diagnosed with cancer, liver cancer and esophageal cancer. And there's some people in this room that know about this, I went from one morning waking up in my bed and going to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and fixing to do my commitment for the rest of the day to that night being in a cancer ward with a lot of phone calls to my grand sponsor in between there. You know, they're doing this now, they're taking me here, you know, my sponsor. And I ended up in that night, I'm in a cancer ward. I'm like, how did this happen? And there wasn't nothing I can do about it, so I wasn't that, it just happened. And so I got diagnosed, and they went through all the tests and found out I have stage 4 cancer, which is bad. Okay, it's as bad as it gets. And it didn't sound too good, but the doctor said there were some things we could try. And I said, she said it was worth it. And I said, okay, let's try it. And my sponsor was down there with me, you know, all the time. And, you know, down there sitting by me in that bed, telling me that you're going to beat this thing. You know, my grand sponsor came down, old timers, everybody in my home group showed up. Phones started ringing like crazy. People from this group called me and spent, you know, 15, 20 minutes talking to me on the phone. You know, you know, Alateen came down there and hung banners because I've been able to, lucky enough to sponsor an Alateen meeting for a long time, 4 or 5 years. I couldn't even tell you how long, but I've been involved with the Alateens. You know, my kids have both grown up. They've gone to Alateen and grown up in there, and they're good members of Alateen. You know, all them kids came down, and I had a banner on the other side of my bed that had all their names on it. The guys brought down and hung up in there. People started praying. I was in a lot of pain when I walked in there. And I don't want to take pain medication. I fought them. I said, I won't know. I don't want that. And all of a sudden, about 2 days into that thing, you know, when people started praying all over the place, by that time there was people here praying, people in Australia praying, people in my home group praying, people all over. Even my ex-wife lived next to a missionary, and she got that to put me in a prayer chain. The normies were praying for me all over the world, the religious people, and there was just a lot of prayer, and the pain stopped. And it really hasn't come back. You know, I have moments, a little bit of moments, but it's never been bad enough to have to take anything for it. And I'm so grateful for that because, you know, one day I was in a meeting, a Saturday meeting, my sponsor was talking about it. It didn't look too good at the time, and my grand sponsor was talking to me. And he was telling me how, you know, a guy in my condition could just get out there and run up the bills and tear it all up and rob liquor stores or whatever I wanted to do and really not even have to be around long enough to pay for it. But I looked at him and I just said, I want to die. If I got to die, I want to die sober. Because that's what I came into Alcoholics Anonymous for. You know what I mean? And I wasn't really planning on dying, but if I have to, I want to die sober. I want to check. That's beating the deal. That's the only way I can see to beat this thing. And, you know, that's just how I feel. And, you know, but I've done the chemo and the radiation and all that stuff. And, you know, and I've done AA. In the midst of it all, my sponsors pushed on me, a grand sponsors pushed on me with a boot or a loving hand, whatever it took at the time. And I've gone to meetings with a chemo pump hanging on me. And I've gone to my preteen commitment like that. And I've gone sick, you know, where I've had to go and lay down in the back. You know, and I've missed a few, but not many. But I've kept moving. And it's saving my life, you know, because I got a CAT scan about 2 weeks ago. And my doctor, who really, they were telling me the things they could do for me to make me comfortable, said, this is wonderful news, these things are dissolving, we're headed in the right direction here. This thing's turned around. You know, it's not gone, I haven't beat it or anything like that, but we're headed in the right direction. And I've gained since the hospital maybe 50 pounds, man. I wanted to come here and show some of you guys that called me that I'm fat and happy. You know, and I got here and I'm doing AA and I'm doing good, and it's been good. It's been hard on my family. You know, I love my wife and kids a lot, and I didn't really want to have to put them through anything like this, but this is what comes with a ticket. And they've supported me through it 110%, and they've been pretty strong. You know, my wife gets a little tired from it sometimes. About that time, these guys haul me off to a camp out or out here. Or get me busy down there in our shop, you know, to where I'm gone, away from the house. And my sponsor pays attention because, like I said, his wife sponsors my wife, and he knows what's going on in my home, even if I can't say it. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And it's worked, and, you know, it's just been an adventure, you know. It wasn't what I planned on. My sponsor keeps telling me that I want to make it because it's just my 10-year surrender, you know, and I don't know about all that, but I tell you what, it's been, I've learned a few good things from it all, you know, and God, I might have a lot of people in my corner. You know, I've always known that in Alcoholics Anonymous because it took a lot of people for me to stay sober and be, you know, learn how to be a decent father, And but I got a lot of people in my corner today, and I am grateful and thank every one of them. And I don't know what the future's got to store for me, but man, day by day, it's looking pretty good. You know, I was able to, I got a good job. I got a real good job. You know, it's a stressful job, but I worked my way up in it, and I got a really decent job. And I was off for 4 months, and about 3 weeks ago, I went back to that job. And those people were calling me all the time, you know, you're going to make it. You're going to come back. Those guys, the guys I work with, you're going to make it. You're going to come back. They visited me in the hospital. It was like they would come in the early shift about the time all the AAs got there. All my normal people from work were in there, and they just kind of, it's like I never told them what was going on, but it's like they knew. Those guys would leave, and my AA friends would be there for the night. And, I've got to go back to work, and that wasn't supposed to happen. And, and I was making almost as much money on disability or more, but I want to work because that's what I do. You know, that's part of my daily routine. That's something I was taught in sobriety, that I need to work. And it's worked for 11 years, and I really don't want to change a whole lot of things. You know, some things I have to, but I want to keep on the drill of what I've been doing to stay sober, you know, so I can continue to stay sober, whether I got this thing going on or not. And I've been able to do that, you know, and I've had to use a sponsor and a grand sponsor and other people. They watch me. These guys watch me. I don't know how many times, you know, I've been up almost all night and, you know, little naps today, and I'm pretty burnt, but, you know, no more than the rest of the guys that flew out here with me, I'm sure. And but these guys are watching me and look, you know, they look and make sure I'm okay, and I'm doing good, you know. And I'm grateful to make it through this thing sober. It's been a real miracle the way I see it. I'm surely not supposed to be standing up here tonight on a couple different accounts, all right? One, alcoholism, you know? A guy like me, I should still be out there. I wouldn't make it this long, but if I did, that was my greatest fear when I was drinking. I wasn't too scared of dying because, you know, from drugs and alcohol, I've never been too scared about going back up. People say, if I go back out there, I'll die. That's not the worst thing that can happen, man. The worst thing for me would be to go back out there and spend another 20 years in that. And I know it ain't going to be any better than it was when I quit. It's going to be worse. It won't be any better. And that scares me because, man, it got hard in those last few years. It got real hard. That's a game that's hard to continue to play. And takes a lot of, takes people like us. We got a lot of strength and courage. We can channel that thing right. Amazed what you can do with it. And it's been good, you know. I got good things happening in my life every day, you know. And like I say, when I get back from here, I go work a day because I told them I would. If the snow lets me get back on Monday, I'll be there to work. And then I'll go to Tuesday, I'll go and I'll start chemo again, and I'll do that for the rest of the week, you know. And I put that off so I could be here. I postponed it a week. I made sure my doctor was okay with that, and I postponed it a week so I could come out here. And I've had to do that, do a few AA things here and there. And I work with a doctor and my sponsor on those things. And it's just because I want to be here. I want to do this stuff. I don't want to slow down. You know, I got to at times, but slowing down never did much for my sobriety. And I've slowed way down at times, and it's got me dang near a drink. And it hurts, and it's hard. It's harder to run slow than it is fast, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's harder not to do stuff than it is to do stuff. That's a lesson I learned around 5 years sober. It's good, you know, and I've been able to work with them kids and a few alcoholics down the road, you know, and I got commitments where I got newcomers working side by side with me in AA, and I love that. You know, we have a good time. One thing I've always tried to keep things light and have fun, you know, and I'm still able to do that even though things are going on. I try to keep things light. We've laughed. We laughed on the plane. We laughed in the car. We laughed in the airport. We've laughed in the van, and we've laughed in the meetings. And that's healing right there, I'll tell you. And my wife and kids, you know, they're glad I'm here. It's Valentine's Day, but my wife would rather have me here than anywhere, and I'm grateful for that. She's a good, strong woman, and she's opposite of what I was attracted to most of my life, but she's been the greatest thing. And she's been good for me and those kids, and she put a family together out of what was left, you know. And she'd rather have me here, whether I'm just sitting there speaking or listening, or just to be with the people that she knows that'll give me another day of sobriety. and she supports that. And she ain't missing me right now. She's doing something, and I know she's doing something and having a good time herself. And I don't got to worry about that because there's trust in that relationship. She trusts me here, and I trust her there. And that's something I never had drinking, you know, in any relationship. And I learned that just by the people that helped me stay sober. I've trusted them, and they trust me, you know. And that's some good things, man. That's something I just couldn't get out there, you know. And I wasn't worth much to anybody. And today, you know, I am. I feel I am. I'm a good employee. I'm a decent father. I'm a pretty good member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not perfect, you know. But I was telling my friend Eric today, if we was perfect, we wouldn't be here still. You know, we got drunk. And it's good, you know. Eric's the one that found me. That guy sitting right over there, the one that found me out there. And there's guys that are here when I came and guys that came after me. And I'm grateful for everything that I've received in Alcoholics Anonymous and in life. Things I'm going through today, just like say, come with a ticket. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. That's why I see the third step is this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. That's the way I simplify the third step. You know, whatever I'm doing, if it's the right thing and it's in AA and it supports my sobriety and I'm not deviating, it's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Anytime I question that in my head, I try to say that to myself. You know, and that's going down the road, driving down the freeway, that's helped me a few times. When I'm alone in the car, I can think of some crazy stuff. You know, and trick is I haven't had to be alone for over 11 years. They told me that when I got here, that I wouldn't have to be, and I haven't. You know, there's been people in my corner from day one. The day I walked in Alcoholics Anonymous, God has been in my corner since the day I was born. And this is where he led me, and you know, and he let you guys take over. You know, I'm grateful for that, and I'm really glad to be here. You know, I was really glad to see the guys come out to our home group in September. That was because we do this around a lot, and it's a great experience to go see other groups in action and all that stuff. And those guys came out, and it was just to see the force to come out in a number. It was good. It was good. Usually people are seeing us do that, and we got to see them do that, and it was great. I was really grateful to have them here. And I appreciate those phone calls and the prayers because it works. Look, it works. I think I'm supposed to be dead. I'm not sure. You know, I didn't want a timeline. All right? I didn't want to talk about a timeline. I wanted to talk about actions to take. You know, they told me, make your doctor your health sponsor. So, okay, give me some actions to take. Give me some solution. And some of them doctors weren't too positive, but they are today. They use me as an example to their other patients. They tell me that. I'm like, wow, that's cool. So I think I'm about out of time, and I want to try to keep it to the 30 minutes that Chip told me to, and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Rob. What a powerful message. Really appreciate that. And, you know, thanks for reminding me of the power of prayer, man. You know, and that's for sure. And I'm sure Rob will stick around. You all want to thank him. And if you would, lead us out in the Lord's Prayer, please.